This was us in Colombia. We're at the top of this hill overlooking the entire town.
And dude, roll the B-roll of my photo. You did a photo shoot of me?
It might be the worst I've ever looked in my life.
Dude, when I went to Cuba, we'd go to a person's house and like the grandmother or something would see like this American boy come in. And she's like, oh, you would love my daughter. And they'd bring out a photo album of like every picture. And they're just going through and like, look at her here. And oh, look at her here when she went to this beach. And I'm like, are you selling your daughter, dude? What is this?
And what'd you say? Bien. Whoa, I got fireworks going off. It's very difficult to be the best at one thing, but if you pull from this thing you're good at, and that thing you're good at, and this format, and that creator, and you pull together these eight different things, now you can be the best and only at the one conglomerate of all those things.
I don't want the small talk, but the solution to not wanting the small talk isn't just deep talk. I just want talk.
He doesn't know how to talk. A couple months into a new relationship, he'll text me and he'll be like, Belky, when you go out on a date... like, do you and Athena talk? And I'm like, yeah, dude. All the time. Welcome to the Smart Nonsense Podcast, where we talk about smart nonsense before he's ready.
Fuck,
in the green
dude.
Room. I wanted to jump
scared.
Off. Oh, don't be scared. Don't be scared. I wanted to jump off today by having our editor, Koi.
What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What do you want? Damn it. What do you want?
Just give us a sample. Just a sample of the beginning of episode number 8 of the Smart Nonsense Podcast called, it's called How to Sound Smart.
This is the Smart Nonsense Podcast, where we take a deep dive on entrepreneurship, self-development, and challenging norms. Today, we have episode 8, and we're going to be exploring how to 10X your learning. Who do we got in the studio? I'm Dylan.
Wow.
The Wildcat.
You always step up to the plate. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
That was a joke.
Yeah!
The title's a joke, dude. Don't. See, that was Naval days,
called,
dude. You can't hold me to that.
Wasn't it called How to Sound Smart?
Right, because after the podcast, I listened back, and I'm like, wow, I sound like a pretentious douche. And I'm like, how to sound smart. I just kind of leaned into it.
You'd just be like, if we're to go on to the next topic, I'd like to ask you, Henry, like, what do you think about? I'm like, dude, welcome back.
The problem is, dude, as we've seen, I think that's just how most people shoot content. It's like, I'm going to be boring as fuck, I'll get out.
That's boring as fucking all get out.
Here it is, dude. You better love the actual material that I'm saying because you got nothing else. Now, we like to bring the tea. Granted, that tea, I think, is going to die in about 5 minutes. So we better watch
this is,
out.
Yeah, this is going to be a nuggetsode. We're coming hot off a podcast-style video interview for the YouTube channel VidIQ.
Meet Dylan and Henry, two creators who went from sleeping on the floor of their apartment to making viral shorts through the power of storytelling. Their videos even got the attention of icons such as Will Smith and Tim Ferriss.
I had a lot of fun, but you can only be turned on for so many minutes a day.
Well,
and I got about 6 left.
Yeah, you got low T. Yeah.
Me?
Yeah. Well,
me,
I like this version of our world tour much better because for the fans that don't know, yesterday I've been in a puddle. All right, let's just like globally address this point. I've been in a puddle. I've been splashing around. I don't have flippers. I don't have floaties. I'm just on my own struggling. Belky came in to lend a hand last week, had a little communication, but really he's a ship in the night, right? So he's throwing his little, what do you call that? Little life
buoy?
Raft thing.
The circular one, right?
Yeah, the circular one that really you never see get used, which is probably a good thing. He threw that out to me. But I'm basically like one arm in and it's shark infested water. So I'm still struggling out here, not out of the depths. But what happened
dude,
yesterday.
Actually, I saw a... is on Twitter. There's no way I find it, but it was a video I saw yesterday of this guy stuck in this like whirlpool of 80-foot waves, and there's these two jet skis that are trying to save him. And the jet skis are having to navigate these waves. They have to go like in and out, and finally they get him. And this guy just like yanks onto the back of the jet skis, and they start riding towards these massive waves. They go up one. The guy's whole body like does this, fucking slams on the back of the jet ski. That's you.
That's me. I'm mid-slam, dude. I got slammed down yesterday.
But we get you out yesterday.
Well, right. It could be survivorship bias.
The sassy cat. The sassy cat anti-salesman.
Well, yeah. Yeah, dude. And Munger Grumpy Pants. but God. I think that was both of us, really. Yeah, yesterday I just got bogged down because we had some people over to the office. It was actually cool. Like, I'm glad they came. I just didn't think they were going to come for 3 hours. And really haven't got anything done in what feels like 2 weeks, which is really crushing my mood. I bring it to the pod, though. I bring some goofy goo to the pod. Some of them. Some don't. But what's the point?
Well,
I got happy
I don't
with this world tour because it's controlled. We get on a podcast with this guy on StreamYard, which is like we're in it, we're out of it, and then be on a day versus like having to fucking go to California and hang out with people, or people come here and you can't kick them out.
Well, that's the thing. I think what I really like to do is box my time. And then I like treat those time boxes as the precious little things they are, because it just takes one Jungle Johnny in the afternoon to stretch his time box from 45 minutes to 3.5 hours.
Right.
And that could destroy an entire week.
An entire life, dude. Almost an entire life. You better watch out.
You'll hear me like, let's say I'm having a coffee with someone, or I'm having lunch with someone. If that's a 30-minute thing, at the 25-minute mark, I'll hit them with like I'll let you go in a minute. Last thing we should talk about. You give them one of those. Yeah. It's like, this is going to be the last thing.
Right.
Or you hit them with a hard out, but you don't have many hard outs and you can't fabricate.
I was trying some soft outs. I was like, oh, so what you got going on the rest of the week? Like, let's like globally look at like where we're at in space and time and put that in perspective, because it's been 3 hours. I don't mean to shit on this. It was really fun.
Let's talk about Jungle Johnny, because there's some lessons there. This was us in Colombia. We're at the top of this hill overlooking the entire town. And
dude,
we get
roll the B-roll of my photo. You did a photo shoot of me like minutes before we saw Jungle Johnny. It might be the worst I've ever looked in my life.
Chubby, bacon collar,
bacon
huge
collar.
T-shirt.
Right. It was like an extra, extra large that my friend was trying to throw in the garbage when we were in Spain. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm going to keep that. Put it right in my suitcase. And I love that thing, dude.
Yeah.
It was super airy. But no, I was looking god awful, dude.
Roll the roll,
but dude. That's why you need a little bit of like friend negging. Like we called me rumped when I was fat. Granted, maybe we should have done it harder because it didn't hit home, dude. Not till those photos.
For a couple
of
years.
My bad, dude. Jungle Johnny's the star.
Oh, so we're at the top of this hill and we get locked into the only other guy that's speaking English. He approaches us and he just starts talking and talking. And then he brings up his Instagram. And his Instagram handle is Jungle Johnny. This is where this principle comes from. Don't be Jungle Johnny. I kid you not. So he's just going on about doing drugs and finding women in Medellin and Bogota and Medellin. He's just going on and on. Every sentence, we're like, okay, oh yeah. Next sentence. Oh, super cool, dude. We'll catch you next time. Just like every sentence from us was an out. It was,
right.
We're out of here. And Jungle Johnny just kept doubling down. We didn't know if he was going to come back with us.
Right. He's like, they keep telling me like, oh, that's so awesome, dude. We'll have to do it. It's like, yeah, you'll have to do it because like you should go to this place. He's like, yes, and our outs. I'm like, no, dude, it's a no. That's the time we want to know. No and no more.
No, it's over.
So that's the joke when you get locked into one of those.
We like yes and though. So I'm surprised we weren't down for the yes and at the time.
Well, it was actually like 10 minutes with Jungle Johnny, dude. He was crap.
It was.
And
it wasn't like a good, he wasn't going through like a Sam Colder Instagram of like hot, sexy travel pics. It was like 2009 Instagram of like right. his shitty like filter 8-bit photos.
He's like, dude, this was at 4 a.m. on top of a roof with 2 chicas. And I'm like, dude, it looks like it was shot at 4 a.m. I can't see shit. And he just had a he's like almost as if he didn't know stories existed. Like he just treated like all these sort of like little in the moment pictures as like his. It's like it's his camera roll. He just upload everything, that every photo that he took to yeah. Instagram. It's like, no, dude, it's curation. Like, upload the good shit. But he gave us everything.
So that's Jungle Johnny for you.
Dude, when I went to Cuba, we'd go to a person's house. And like, you know, I was like 18-year-old stallion, dude. So let me rephrase this. It's not any house we went to. A couple houses we went to, we'd get there and it'd be like, the grandmother or something would see like this American boy come in and she's like, oh, you would love my daughter. And they bring out a photo album of like every picture and they're just going through and like, look at her here. And oh, look at her here when she went to this beach. And I'm like, oh, are you selling your daughter, dude? What is this?
It's the only thing to do out there.
Pure like, muy bonita, muy bonita.
And what'd you
say?
So
yeah.
Whoa, I got fireworks going off.
Nice, dude. You got to start using that more often.
What is that gesture? Koi, I hope you saw that in the Riverside roll.
I got you, homie.
Let me tell you about a crazy choice, not comparison.
Okay.
For the folks back home, this is a Mike Maples Jr. Oh. He gave us this framework of you want to be...
Yes.
It's an inside joke. You want to be making... or if you're selling a service or whatever, you want to be a choice, not a comparison. As in, if somebody's looking to go buy apples at the market, you don't want to be a Honeycrisp or a Gala or a Fuji or a Pink Lady or a Red Delicious or a Granny
Smith. Come on, dude. You know, you're just flexing. There was even a six that I cut you off.
You don't want to be any of those comparisons. You want to be a banana. That's it.
Nice, dude.
You're the choice. The person, they don't want to compare between all these apples. They just want a banana. So choice, right. Not comparison.
Well, there's only one type of banana, too, so that works well.
Cavendish?
Cavendish.
Oh.
Not the Gros Michel. Watch my short.
The Gros Michel. Dude, don't derail on the Cavendish banana. fucking choice, not comparison. Anyway, I'm trapped in this incredibly long choice, not comparison sales cycle for this one piano. It is a
How
piano
about you
made...
sell our company rather than buy pianos, dude?
No, I'm learning. It's this piano made by the company Steinway & Sons. And that was what we had in college. That's what our school had in college. So that's what I was playing on. They're made in New York. They're amazing pianos. They're world renowned. And so like from time to time, I go to the store. Like this past weekend, there was an event where they were showing this new piano. It's like a player piano. They were streaming this famous pianist playing on that piano. It does it remote. And I was just sitting there like, God damn, I've known I'm going to get this piano for the last 5 years. And I told them on my way out, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get that piano in like 3 years. And they're just like, okay. See ya. It's like that was the sales pipeline. Mm. It's just like this guy, when he wants to buy a piano, is going to buy our piano. And I just thought that was a beautiful little choice, not comparison.
Yeah. No, that's great, dude. It does make me think anytime anyone ever asks, I guess I haven't gotten it too much with our people that see our stuff. They're not really like, oh, do I do Clipped or do I do like Fiverr? It's more so just like, is Clip too expensive for me? Like it's kind of, the only real thing that's been going off. Or like today, had some guy that comes on and we talk about like, he wants to do animated biomedical videos or like drug videos, like how drugs work in the body. And like, there's just no comparison. Like who does he go to for that? It's like, I don't know. Do you want to go to like some random person you just Googled or do you want to go to us who you saw on Starter Story on YouTube? And now you look at our shorts and they're exactly what you're trying to do, just 10 times better. It's like, oh, well, fuck, obviously these guys. Granted, I think I just compared
us too in that. But it's like, it's like you don't really compare it because it's just like the no-brainer, obvious decision. I feel like our content has always been better at this than our company. Like we've traditionally been sort of competing with like other
competition.
Yeah, yeah. We're still not the best at that. But that's why I really like doubling down on just this like super high end we do animated explainers thing, because I think it's just a lot easier for people to see our content and be like, oh, that is, they are the best in the world at that.
Yeah.
Well, dude, one thing, even having this little interview with vidIQ right before this, it was like our advice, or my advice at least, was like, hey, just be the best in the world, or be like the only one doing something. And it was funny, like as we were doing the interview, I basically realized like, I don't know, whenever you see people that are like doing things the same as everybody else, like he was kind of just like asking questions from a list that like he didn't really prepare. And it was like similar to like other interviews and stuff. Granted, you can like post-produce it differently, but it's more just everyone in the world's copying each other. And it really bugs me. I'm like, everyone freaks out. It's like, oh, is it too competitive to create awesome shorts? It's like, yeah, if you're competing.
Right.
But if you don't compete, it's not competitive. So fucking balls in your court.
Hey, if you're competing.
Granted, like yeah. Most people have to compete because they don't have like resources like we have now. But you can also get creative with fewer resources.
Well, I think I actually gave a decent... Because I think like if you're starting from scratch, and this is the same with Mr. Beast. He's like, they're like, Mr. Beast, what's your trick? He's like, make great videos. It's like,
nah.
And your piece of advice, like if you're starting from scratch, your advice is, well, just be the best at one thing. And it's like, the fuck is that? And so this ultimately we learned from Naval, which is like, it's very difficult to be the best at one thing. But if you pull from this thing you're good at, and that thing you're good at, and this format, and that creator, and you pull together these 8 different things, now you can be the best and only at the one conglomerate of all those things.
Right, right.
And so for us, that was like pulling together content inspiration from Johnny Harris and from Casey Neistat and from Big Weird World and Drunk History and South Park. We just slammed all those together, and then we're the only people doing that.
Right, right.
Huh. I'm in the interview. Just trapped in it.
Fucking my bad, dude. Yeah, I do. I'm excited. I get really confused about these things because I don't know. I don't like preaching, at least on like other formats. Like we kind of preach on this podcast stuff to do. But like, I don't like it where, I thought I'd like it where we're kind of the center of attention and people like listen to us. But it feels fake still. It's like the phony, like,
Said it at the end, which is like, advice cancels out. We've said a bunch of BS for the last hour. All that matters is the listener, like us when we were 20, goes and listens to the thing and has some confirmation bias and runs with the piece of advice that they need to hear. Right. Like the rest is just fanfare. Like what are we talking about?
It's
so specific to individual circumstance.
It's literally like anything can work. Just hear one thing that speaks to you and do the fuck out of that. It's like, if you do it right, you'll have success. So it's kind of like if we do more of these things, like we're going to in a week in sort of more of a podcast format, I really want to like have, hey, this is what's worked for us. If that jives with you, do it. If you think, hey, I'm going to take this totally different, like I'm going to make every video perfect approach, that can work too. You just got to love whatever the hell you're doing. Hey, dude, keep preaching.
Whoa!
Keep preaching.
Preach to the choir. Oh,
did we say Nuggetsode?
Can we get a choir sing? I got a way to end the Nuggetsode if you want.
Okay. All right, you can take
it. Do you have something or will it roll over to the next pod so people can subscribe?
I still want to talk about, well, at some point, the NFT thing. Or not NFT.
NFT thing from your weekend pod?
Yeah, that's still...
Well, you said it was sad, right?
It's kind of sad.
Okay, let's go out on this. Because it's Friday, and we want to go out happy for the weekend. Sent me this meme on Twitter in my DMs, and we've talked about it here on the pod, so I'm going to read it. How do people who, quote, hate small talk plan on being in sustained, meaningful relationships? What are you going to do? Quote, hi, honey, I'm home. Do you think free will truly exists? It's like, yeah! There he is. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants to sit down and get right to the business.
No, dude. No, you're misinterpreting me. What do I want? When I don't want the small talk, right? But the solution to not wanting the small talk isn't just deep talk. Okay? I just want talk. Doesn't have to be deep. Dude, watch me thread the needle.
He doesn't know
here.
How to talk.
I do ask you every relationship. What
he's
do I
like,
talk about?
He's like, Belky, he'll text me like a couple months into a new relationship, and he'll text me and he'll be like, Belky, when you go out on a date, like, do you and Athena talk? And I'm like, yeah, dude. All the time.
Dude. No, well, that kind of the problem, like, constant. I worked in this I called it a dating company for a couple years, but it's not a dating company. It's actually the opposite of a dating company. It's a pickup company. It's like, here's how to get the first date. After that, you're on your own, dude. Figure out how to keep talking to him. So I'd be sick at like any topic to go over on the first date, but after that, I'm all out of topics. I'm like, date two, date three. I'm like, fuck, dude, what do you think of free will? And it's like, we covered that on day one. So there's nothing left. So what's my solution? It's not just go straight into the deep end. It's more like, I want to figure out how we can just always talk. It's like we don't really have really like deep talk. We don't have small talk either. It's just like fucking talk. Just because we're like always interacting. It's like,
yeah, but we've known each other for like 7-8 years now.
Oh, so you're gonna say I just gotta be patient. But but no, I think it comes from like you're doing shit together. So it's like,
I don't know. There's a lot of different variables. We're also both male. That's a thing. Like there's all these memes that go around. It's like you come home to your girlfriend and she's like, well, what'd you learn about Dylan today? And I'm like, or it's like, you went golfing with Dylan. Yeah. Like, what'd you learn? He just got divorced. Like, what happened? And you're like, I don't know. Seems fine.
Dude,
it's
when
like,
did
he
I
shot a 75.
This? It's, I've never seen something more accurate. Oh, dude, it was Jack and I, my roommate, and we went to this party. And dude, the conversations I had with these random guys, it was like, like I knew nothing about
bros?
This guy, but it was just what?
Dude,
bros being
bros.
Bros, dude. It was like we kind of started yes anding each other, and like there was zero substance, but we were like talking about like Bush going on the front lines of Iraq and just lighting people. Like I don't even know what the fuck we were talking about, dude. It was just the most absurd thing, and I don't even know the dude's name. And I'm like, that's pretty much every dude.
You went to the front lines with this dude.
And Bush.
He got yopped. He got murked in the forehead. You don't even know his name.
Not a clue. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know because I don't have female friends.
Just dudes being bros.
Yeah, might be possible. Oh.
Gardaloo!
Fuck.